When I was in university, one of my favorite bands was a Christian group called Jars of Clay. Some of you might know Jars of Clay. And they had a song that was called No One Loves Me Like You Do. The song itself wasn't great, but the sentiment was this idea that no one would love me like God does. I think that's a pretty neat thing. But I have to admit that sometimes I wondered, is that true? Does God truly love me like nobody else? I mean, I know myself. I know the secret habits of my heart. I know the unlovable parts about me. Is it true that no one loves me like God does? If you've ever resonated with that feeling, this message is for you. No one loves you like God does. And that is clear from the passage of scripture that we're going to look at this morning, Hosea 11, 1 through 11. I remember reading this passage a few years back, and it just knocked my socks off, this picture of the love that God has for his people. So we're going to look together at Hosea 11 this morning. I invite you to turn there in your Bibles. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea is how it goes in the Bible. So you can find it there. Now, at this point, when Hosea was written, the exile that we talked about last week hasn't happened yet. This is still anticipating the exile. There's still time to change, as it were. The people of Israel were going about their business. You know, they were buying and selling and eating their food and going out drinking. And, you know, some of them, a lot of them, were not really paying much attention to God. And so God sent Hosea to them, specifically the northern kingdom of Israel. God sent this prophet Hosea to them to say, guys, what are you doing in light of this God who cares for you deeply? And Hosea says to them a variety of things, both warnings and warm invitations back. And I think that this passage in Hosea lays out what a high fidelity God really is. This is one of the most powerful expressions, I think, of God's love for his people in the whole of the Bible. So let me read it to you just to kind of hear the whole thing from God's voice. And then we're going to kind of pick it apart a little bit. So Hosea 11, starting at verse 1, this is God speaking to his people through Hosea. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt, I called my son. But the more I called Israel, the further they went from me. They sacrificed to the Baals, and they burned incense to the images. It was I who taught Ephraim, Israel, to walk, taking them by the arms, but they did not realize that it was I who healed them. I led them with the cords of human kindness, with ties of love. I lifted the yoke of burden from their neck and bent down to feed them. Will they not return to Egypt? And will not Assyria rule over them because they refuse to repent? Swords will flash in their cities, will destroy the bars of their gates and put an end to their plans. My people are determined to turn from me. Even if they call to the Most High, I will by no means exalt them. But how can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I treat you like Admah? How can I make you like Zeboim, like Sodom and Gomorrah? My heart is changed in me. All my compassion is aroused. I will not carry out my fierce anger, nor will I turn and devastate Ephraim. For I am God and not man, the Holy One among you. I will not come in wrath. They will follow Yahweh. He will roar like a lion. When he roars, his children will come trembling from the west. They will come trembling like birds back up from Egypt, like doves back from Assyria. I will settle them in their homes, declares the Lord. Isn't that a beautiful picture of God's love for his people. So tender and emotional and compassionate. I mean, Hosea 11, when Israel was a child, I loved him. Out of Egypt, I called my son. What's he talking about? It's the Exodus, right? The Exodus is the moment where God reaches in, takes these nobody slaves, gives them life and freedom and purpose. I loved him when he was a child and I made him mine. But the more I called Israel, the further they went from me. They sacrificed to idols. They burned incense. You can almost hear the betrayal in God's voice there, can't you? I gave them everything, and yet they chased after other gods. I loved them with a tender love, and yet they were no better than that guy with his girlfriend checking out the girl in the red dress, you know, that meme that I put out. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms. And that picture of God teaching Israel to walk is exactly the picture of me walking Ben, right? Of a loving parent taking them and saying, I'm going to carry you along, help you to walk. Ben had no idea, I'm sure, that I was carrying him along in that moment. And yet there I was, led them with the cords of kindness. And yet the more faithful that God was, the less faithful it seems that Israel became. And then verse 5 actually anticipates 2 Kings 17 that we looked at last week. Some of the people in advance of the exile fled to Egypt. The rest of them off to Assyria. All because, verse 7, my people were determined to turn from me. This low-fi people, a low-fidelity people, turned their backs on this high-fidelity God. And yet, verse 8, how can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I treat you like Admah and Zeboim? If you look in Deuteronomy, there's actually four cities. It's not just Sodom and Gomorrah that get destroyed. It's Sodom and Gomorrah and Admah and Zeboim. Why Hosea chose the latter two and not the more well-known ones, I'm not sure. You can hear the emotion in God's voice here, right? The jumble of feelings he is experiencing. Like justice says, you're going to spurn my faithful love? Then you're destroyed, right? At least you get time out in the corner. And yet his compassion says, I got to find a way to be merciful, a way to redeem you even in this rebellion. Verse 8, my heart is changed within me. My compassion is aroused. I can't think of a more moving picture of God's love for his people than this. He has made this tender, emotional commitment to his people, and he's not going to be moved from it. And so he says, verse 9, I will not carry out my fierce anger, nor will I destroy you. Yes, you will go into exile. You will get a timeout, as it were, to be refined. But I'm going to bring a faithful remnant home and settle them in their homes. It's a high-fi God who finds a way to redeem a people who spit in his face. Let me pull out four thoughts for you from this. Four quick ones. First, God loves his people with a tender, steadfast, relentless love. You know, I think there is no greater picture of that than Hosea 11, God as a loving mother or father. One, God loves so deeply, and yet two, the people respond to that love in a very low fidelity way. They chase after everything but God. And so three, justice must be done. I mean, imagine bringing a foster child into your home, pouring out money and time and effort and emotional expenditure in their lives, only to find out that they've been stealing stuff from you, sell it off, and use it to buy drug money. You're not going to be too predisposed to be joyful with that kid, are you? Justice somehow has to be done. And yet, 4, God found a way to do that mercifully. Not just to kick into the curb and say, well, you lost your chance, but to bring back, to preserve a faithful remnant and to give them another chance. And that's true, not just of Israel, but for God's people as a whole. God loves each of us with a tender, steadfast, relentless love. He created us. He provides for us day by day. He is utterly committed to each and every one of you. And yet, too, how do we respond to that high fidelity? You know, sometimes we chase after other things. The more God calls, the more we go away. 3, therefore, justice has got to be done. Right? Turning your back on a high fidelity God is a dangerous thing to do. And yet, 4, God found a way to exact justice mercifully, to redeem us, to give us a second chance. I mean, Hosea 11:9 was 100% right. God says there, I will not come in wrath. That was true. He came instead in mercy, in the person of his son Jesus, to bear the wrath that our low fidelity deserved, and to bring us back forgiven. You know, Matthew quotes Hosea here in the Christmas story. He says, out of Egypt, I have called my son. Remember that from Matthew? He realizes that what Hosea is talking about is completed in Jesus coming to restore us. You know, I said earlier that there's no greater picture than God's love for us. You know, I think there is one in the New Testament, and that's the cross. You know, the Son of God laying his life down for me, for you, for all the ways that we straggle and turn our backs towards God. What Jesus did made you a beloved child of God. The cross is the Hosea 11 of the New Testament, I think. No one loves you like God does. Do you know that? Do you feel that deeply in your heart? You know, Hosea 11 is specifically about Israel, God's people, but it's true of God's people generally. You know, I think of 1 John 3, verse 1 here. It captures the essence of Hosea 11 in one verse. How great the love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called children of God. That is what we really are. People loved by God with a love that is steadfast and tender and unrelenting, that recognizes the need to do justice and yet finds ways to forgive and see it done mercifully. If you have turned from sin and trusted God, then you are loved by God more than you could possibly imagine. The question, though, is what are you doing with that love? But the people of Israel, the ancient Israelites, they took it for granted. They knew how much God loved them, and yet they just went on doing their own thing, seeking their own pleasures. That landed them in exile. How about you? What are you doing with God's love? If God loves us so completely and utterly, then how can we not love him with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength? You know, God's tender love calls for a faithful response. You know, that's the big idea this morning. God's tender care calls for faithful love. Respond to his love with faithfulness in return. You know, I think it would be helpful, valuable for you to, like, Take 1 John 3:1, how great the love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called children of God. Take that, put it into your phone as a reminder to come up every morning. Stick it on a post-it note and put that thing on your mirror so that when you're standing there evaluating yourself in the mirror in the morning, go, no, hold on. Evaluate yourself by 1 John 3:1. I am a child of God. Read that every morning and say, this is who I am. And then stop throughout the day and say, am I acting in light of that? Are my actions consistent with someone who has been loved so fully by God? Am I making God the center of my life, or do I crowd him in around the edges? Am I chasing after my own agenda, or am I looking for ways to get into what God is doing in the world through my life? Am I treating others with the same radical love that God has shown to me? Friends, God loves you more than you could possibly imagine. No one loves you like God does. Take that, feel that, own that, and respond to him with faithful love too. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this picture in Hosea of your love, of your commitment to us, of your unfailing, unrelenting faithfulness. Lord, it's incredible to think that the unconditional, overflowing love that I have for my kids pales in comparison to the unconditional, overflowing love that you have for us as your children. Lord, help us to feel that. Lord, if there's anybody listening here today who is, you know, feeling low, feeling unloved, feeling put down by the world, Lord, fill their hearts with Hosea 11. Fill their hearts with 1 John 3, with the cross. Nothing will separate you from the love that God has demonstrated to you by the death of Jesus on the cross. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to live faithfully in light of that commitment you have made to us. Lord, we don't want to be the person who takes your gifts for granted, who takes your commitment to us for granted, who is constantly looking over the fence and saying, oh, that looks nicer than God's faithfulness. Lord, move us throughout the week. Remind us of the ways that we can walk with you faithfully in light of your commitment to us. We pray these things in your name, Jesus.